Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the ageless wisdom. And before we go forward with that topic, we have to give credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. And all of the dialogue that you'll hear on this show is inspired by Alice Bailey, and much of it comes from the 24 volumes of literature that Alice Bailey wrote. And this particular thought is from a student of Alice Bailey. It's from a book called The Golden Thread by Natalie Banks. The constant reappearance of the ageless wisdom handed down from remote times has been compared in symbol to a golden thread, a spiritual lifeline waxing and waning in clarity from century to century. What is the meaning of the term golden thread?
It's a term that comes actually from Greek mythology. It's another expression for the ageless wisdom. But in Greek mythology, the golden thread was a ball of thread that Ariadne gave to Theseus as he made his journey into the depths of the labyrinth. And it was to enable him to survive that terrific and frightening journey and to find his way out of the labyrinth and back into the light. So the golden thread is the body of spiritual wisdom called the ageless wisdom, which was given to Theseus, who symbolizes the human incarnated soul, as it makes its way in the darkness of life on earth. And you can see that the golden thread or the ageless wisdom is the spiritual teaching that's that each human being brings with him into incarnation on earth and enables him to find his way back into the light. I think, in spite of my stumbling, that defines what the golden thread is. It's a path back into the light. And there are other terms for the ageless wisdom as well as the golden thread. It's called the perennial philosophy, which is the title of a wonderful book by Aldous Huxley. It's called the mystery teaching. It's sometimes referred to as the secret doctrine. There I'm not referring to the book by H.P. Blavatsky, but to the generic term, small s, small d, the secret doctrine. Those are all terms for a body of teaching that is said to have been with humanity literally from the dawn of time, passed down for eons of time in oral tradition, and we could talk about why some of the deepest spiritual teaching is still passed down only verbally, not in writing. But the first written version of the ageless wisdom, I think, was the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, would you say?
Well, that would be one of the earliest ones, I would think, because no one really is sure of the exact date when Patanjali lived and did his work, but it was thousands of years ago, even preceding the Buddha.
Well, Hinduism apparently says that he lived perhaps 10,000 years ago.
Right. Yeah. So it's very ancient teachings that he was one of the first great initiates to write down these sutras that we still have today and we use today. And it's, in fact, it's involved in one of the Alice Bailey books, The Light of the Soul.
But there are many other verbal expressions of the ageless wisdom. They permeate human culture, really. They're found in the early Greek teaching of Pythagoras and Plato. It's found in early Christianity in the teachings of the Essenes and the Gnostics. If you've ever heard of the Gnostics, G-N-O-S-T-I-C. I think Gnosis means literally wisdom. It's the wisdom teaching. It's found in the Jewish Kabbalah, in the Sufi teachings of Islam. It's found in all the great world religions. Again, this metaphor of a golden thread, it's a strain of wisdom that runs through and permeates many different cultural and religious traditions, and yet it's kind of buried within or hidden like a thread running through a tapestry. You have to look for it.
It's also the basis for the prodigal son story in the Bible, where the prodigal son leaves the father's home and he goes into the depths of the nether world and experiences all the horrors of that world and finally becomes dissatisfied with it, with all the husks of life, as it says. And he turns around and makes his way back to the father's house. And it's, as you say, it's in most of the world religions, this same returning, this cyclic movement of the individual into the world and then on to the return again.
And what's interesting to me is that the ageless wisdom concerns the inner side of life, regardless of its presentation or of the particular cultural tradition that in which it is modified. It always works to establish a connection or a relation between the outer visible world and the inner conditioning causal realm of life. The ageless wisdom always points to the real inner energizing factor, and you can see this at work in the mythologies of being politically incorrect, called the primitive peoples, in the inner esoteric religious traditions, in some of the arts and sciences like alchemy and so on. It always concerns this inner hidden side of life, which it seeks to reveal and illumine.
Yes, even Christianity has its esoteric side. We don't hear too much about that, but it's there.
You mean the Essenes and the Gnostics, or are you referring to something
else?
Yes,
even at that time, but even later on, the Christian
mystics.
Teachings of the mystics.
St. John of the Cross.
Right. And a lot of that has been kind of buried, I think, but and not probably buried away in the Vatican somewhere. But
well, it's buried in their writings if you're referring to people like St. Teresa and Meister Eckhart and Jakob Boehme. They wrote books that you can read, but you won't understand them unless you have the consciousness to follow them.
Right.
I don't know if you are referring to those particular teachers.
Yeah, those and many others, and later, later writers like Annie Besant was a theosophical writer. She wrote an entire book on the esoteric traditions of Christianity.
And as I mentioned, Judaism has this strain of ageless wisdom in the Kabbalah. What I find very interesting about the ageless wisdom is that it's always been with humanity, this teaching, and it's always presented in a form or a style that is appropriate for the period. So you have to have a kind of an elastic consciousness to be able to identify similarities of teaching. For example, the opening comment about the golden thread, which related the ageless wisdom to the Greek myth of Theseus and his journey into the labyrinth. The Greek myths are full of symbolism, and you can get a headache trying to follow them. I can remember when I was in college studying Greek myth. It requires a real understanding of metaphor and simile. This was appropriate for that period. It takes on a different guise in the Kabbalah, still another in alchemy, yet another in the Sufi tradition of Islam, in mathematics. Pythagoras, for example, one of the great teachers of the ageless wisdom who lived around the time of the Buddha, 600 BC or so, there was a real flowering of spiritual brilliance in the world in the person of the Buddha and in Pythagoras, who established one of the first mystery schools. And Pythagoras was fascinated with number and mathematics. And he believed that mathematics contained the mystery of the universe.
And he also coupled mathematics, the teachings of mathematics, with a religious training, because I think we've mentioned before that in that school he established that every neophyte should spend the first 2 years of his training in silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that learning silence is a way to adapt to the inner silence.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very a valuable part of the training. And also, Pythagoras thought that religious training should be was for a moral reformation of society rather than a philosophical reformation. And he sought by rites and by the abstaining from certain practices to purify the believer's soul and thus enabled it to escape from the wheel of birth.
Well, what is the difference between a moral and a philosophical reformation, would you say?
The moral would be certain behaviors,
mm-hmm.
that we just don't engage in, certain attitudes, I think, that we just don't practice certain kinds of thought.
So, and the philosophical would have to do with one's ideas, one's mind. So a moral reformation would imply a change within the real character.
Yeah, it's more
and
or
not
less,
just a matter of filling up your mind with
character building, I would mm-hmm. think, for the to straighten out one's moral life right at the beginning. That's why it was necessary for all neophytes to undergo this training in his particular school. There was an interesting, also an aside to, he also established a practice of what we now call an evening review, because he suggested that they have, at the end of each day, that each neophyte would answer three questions. And one would be, in what have I failed? The second question would be, what good have I done today? And then the third was, what have I not done that I ought to have done? So it involves a questioning for these students at the end of the day. And we have this even in the Arcane School. You know, we have what we call an evening review. So this is still a very ancient practice that we still carry on.
When you say we have it in the Arcane School, what do you mean by that, Dale?
It's one of the practices that we have in the school teachings in the mm-hmm. school and evening review.
And part of Lucis Trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is the ageless wisdom. And before we go forward with exploring that particular topic, I think you might be interested in the idea that we have a book for you that, and also purchasing that book would be way of helping out Lucis Trust and keeping these programs on the air. The book is called The Golden Thread, and it's a 52-page book by Natalie Banks. She was a very serious student of Alice Bailey. And the book gives an introduction and an overview of what we're talking about today, the ageless wisdom. So if you'd like to know more about the ageless wisdom, I find the ageless wisdom topic to be very intriguing, and I think from that book you'll get information that will probably be of great interest to you. And the book that I just spoke about, The Golden Thread, it's available from the Lucis Publishing Company for $8. And that includes shipping and handling, so you can send your check or money order for $8 to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I'll repeat that. That's Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. If you'd like to order by phone or to order by credit card, you can call the Lucis Publishing Company at 212-292-0606. That's if you'd like to order by phone. And please, we'd like you to order during normal business hours, and that's Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Once again, that number for ordering the book, 212 area code, 292-0606. And once again, it's $8, and it's a 52-page book, the title of which is The Golden Thread, and it's about the topic we're exploring today called The Ageless Wisdom. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Now, I'd like to get back to exploring our theme, the ageless wisdom. Why is the ageless wisdom hidden and not made plain for everyone to see and know?
Well, why not just hand it to people and they would then live their lives much more correctly and happily? It doesn't work that way. You can hand people the wisdom of the universe, and if they don't have the inner resources to know what to do with it or to recognize it for what it is, they won't value it. And there is that parable in the Bible about not casting your pearls before swine, which is probably relevant. It sounds kind of harsh, but it's a fact that until we are ready to appreciate the value of something, it doesn't really have any meaning for us. I think another aspect to that law that the ageless wisdom cannot be broadcast to the mass of humanity is that we have to prepare ourselves to receive it, and we have to seek it out. The pearl of great price is the pearl of great value is won at a great price, I think it said. You have to search for it and prepare yourself and do your own purification and discipline before you can receive such knowledge. Do you have other ideas on that?
Well, there's a certain fragileness about these teachings.
What do you mean?
I think that they can be stepped on and denigrated and shattered, and if they are handed out, you know, indiscriminately to those who are not ready to accept it, because they tend to bring more light into the world, and therefore I think there is tends to be a reaction to these teachings if they're not understood. So I think that's one reason why they have to be a little guarded in the way they are given out.
There was a mention in the opening quotation about how this ageless wisdom throughout history has waxed and waned. And what you say reminds me of the fact that there was a period called the Dark Ages when there was very little enlightenment of any sort, and that was a period in which the ageless wisdom was really out of sight. Whereas, as I mentioned, in about 600 BC, there was a tremendous flowering of spiritual consciousness in the work of the Greek teachers. The Buddha lived then. Why there are these ups and downs in human consciousness, I don't know.
Well, you mentioned the Dark Ages, and that's a good example of what can happen if one is not careful, because in those days, you could be prosecuted, and people like Galileo were prosecuted for speaking out about, you know, presenting a new theory, and he was prosecuted by the church.
Yeah.
And the church was all-powerful at that time, and the hierarchy had say over what was what could be taught and what could not be taught. And so they had to be very careful in those days.
Aldous Huxley makes an interesting comment in The Perennial Philosophy. He says that the nature of this reality is such that it cannot be directly grasped except by those who have chosen to fulfill certain conditions, which are making oneself loving, pure in heart, and poor in spirit. And that's interesting, to be poor in spirit. I think what that suggests to me is to make oneself open and needy and receptive to new understanding. It's a kind of a spiritual humility that says, in essence, I know nothing, teach me. And in that kind of open receptivity, new light can pour in. So to be poor in spirit, loving and pure in heart prepares one to receive the ageless wisdom. There's another interesting comment that Huxley makes about the ageless wisdom that kind of helps us to, it gives credence to the existence of the ageless wisdom. He points out that there is nothing in our everyday experience that would make us believe that combining oxygen and hydrogen would make water, and yet we know scientifically, we can verify that it does. And he says, just so, there's nothing in our everyday experience that would give us much reason to suppose that the average human being's mind contains within it something resembling the inner reality, with a capital R, the substantial reality that lies behind the manifested world. And I think this is the most central premise of the ageless wisdom, that behind all the outer manifestation of the world of form, there is one cause, one source, one creator. There is one. And this was affirmed by Pythagoras. I mentioned that he believed numbers contain spiritual mystery. He taught overwhelming significance of the one, as did Plato, the one and the three, that all manifestation derives from this central source.
Yes, and that's the essence of all the spiritual, the ageless wisdom teachings. And it all leads to a sense of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we are heading in the world today, is the development of this universal sense of wholeness and oneness. Mm-hmm. And that's where all these traditions are gradually leading. We've come to this point today because of what happened in the past and all the light teachings of light that have come down through the ages. And we are now at this point, I think, in human consciousness where we can really begin to understand and appreciate the sense of wholeness and oneness.
When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. How does that relate to what we talked about with ageless wisdom?
Well, maybe we can talk about that in
Okay, we'll have to hold off, but
program.
That's a good comment on itself. Once again, if you'd like to order our book that more or less has a lot to do with what we spoke about today, The Ageless Wisdom, you can order The Golden Thread. It's a 52-page book about the ageless wisdom, and you can order it by calling from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the evening, Monday through Friday, at 212-292-0606. Once again, that's 212-292-0606. Or you can send your money order to Lucis Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, Let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.